Well, good morning and welcome. So good to have you here, those who are able to be here in person, as well as those live streaming or watching this later. Welcome in the name of Christ. I just want to encourage you. Also want to make sure that you know of this devotional. We have available on the back in the foyer there area, and we will be getting this online. We don't have that there yet. But we'll have that on the website, fccw.net. So look for that if you haven't already got it. A couple of things that I want to make sure that you're aware of that we're not doing today and next Sunday, but we want to encourage you to do in the future where you can. We didn't have adult Sunday school this morning, and we won't again next Sunday. But normally that's at 9 a.m. before the 10:30 service, and we'd encourage you to come in the new year. And then also the young adult fellowship that's normally at 6 o'clock on Sunday evenings. We're not doing that today or next Sunday, but again, hope that you'll join us and participate in the new year with those things. The other things I want to make sure that you're aware of is go to fccw.net. For the order of worship and make use of the materials that are there so that you can participate more fully in the worship service. And then also to remind you that we are still taking gifts towards the sacrificial offering that we took on Christmas Eve. That's been designated this year for the Bethany Burgess Camp, and particularly their very pressing need for a vehicle. And so if you either give online or send in the check, if you'll just note that that's for the Christmas Eve sacrificial offering, and we'll make sure that that's put in the right place. Well, again, welcome, and let us turn our hearts before the Lord to worship Him and adore Him. Thank you. Please take a few moments now and prepare yourself. Again, welcome. We are thrilled to have you here as we call upon the Lord and praise His name together. Let's stand together for the call to worship. This morning I'll be reading from Galatians chapter 4. Please hear the holy, inerrant word of God. When the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. So let us rejoice in Christ the Lord who has come for us. Let's begin by singing Angels from the Realms of Glory. You'll find it, hymn number 218, there in your order of worship.
Come
seated. Oh, Lord Christ, we do come to worship You. We rejoice and thank You that You have come. You have come to us, needy, broken, sinful people. Yet You have come just as You promised. Oh, Lord, we praise You and thank You. We ask that You would, by Your Spirit, enliven our hearts. Help us to praise You with all of our being. For it's in Your name, Lord Christ, we ask. Amen. I just got the high sign that yes, this is now on the website. So if you are looking for that at fccw.net, that you'll find that there. This morning I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 9. These are verses 6 and 7. Hear now God's holy inerrant word. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. Praise be to the Lord. And so Matthew calls us to repentance, to acknowledge our sin and to run with it to the Lord, who is the only one able to forgive us. Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" After the disciples rightly confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Peter had to be reprimanded because he was, quote, "not setting his mind on the things of God, but on the things of man," end quote. If we are honest with ourselves, we must admit that we often do not have our minds set on the things of God. Confession is simply being honest with God about our sin, that is a rebellion against Him, agreeing with Him about how we seek our own agenda instead of His. Let us confess our sin now silently before Him. Praise be to God, who does not count our transgressions against us, but has taken them all on Himself on the cross. Let's stand together as we sing now, "Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming," number 221. Please pray with me. Lord God, thank you for this day that you've given to us. Lord, we pray that you would help us in our grief, in our struggles, in our worry and anxiety. Lord, we know in particular many struggling mightily right now. Because while this is a time to celebrate and to rejoice in you, Lord Christ, coming, so many of us struggle with griefs and pains and difficulties. Lord, we lift up to you Peter and Rosemary Vanderhoof and pray, Lord, for them with the loss of Peter's dear sister, Mary Ellen. Lord, we pray that you would comfort them, grant them grace, help them in this time of mourning. Lord, I pray for my brother Jay with the loss of his son Jason. We pray, Lord, not only for Jay but our whole family. We pray, Lord, that you would be with them and strengthen them. And we pray for Jason's children and their mother. Lord, we pray that you would be with her and comfort them all. I thank you for my nephew Joseph and the way in which he is seeking to honor his brother and care for his daughters in particular. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless his efforts, come alongside him, strengthen him. And Lord, we pray that not only would you meet their physical needs, but Lord, that you would open their eyes to see you, Lord Christ, as you truly are. Lord, these are just two families struggling mightily right now, during this time. But we know there are many, many others. Father, we pray for your people who are struggling in such ways. And we pray for those wrestling with the incredible loneliness of being isolated. And even when isolation is something for our physical protection, it's still emotionally and spiritually so difficult. So we pray particularly for those who are alone and struggling. We pray for those in the homestead and Merton's house, for the Terrace and other nursing homes. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with them and strengthen them. We thank you for things like the live streaming and the technology of being able to call and even video stream and see loved ones. And yet we recognize that it's not the same as being face to face, as being able to be in the same room and to hug one another. So Father, we pray that you would be near to those in particular who are alone. Father, we ask that you would help us as your people to comfort those who are mourning, grieving, and struggling. Father, we thank you so much for Edie and for her recovery from the difficulty she was having breathing. And we praise you and thank you for her son and daughter-in-law coming all the way from California and being here with her. Pray that you would bless them during the next few days as they sort through and find what she needs to bring with her as they have her come back with them to California for a time. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them with safety and travel and protection against COVID or any other illnesses, and we pray that you would bless their family together. Lord, we know that there are many others wrestling with the same kinds of things. Is this time for mom or dad or grandma or granddad to live with the rest of the family instead of being by themselves, and how to do that and what that looks like? Lord, we pray that you would grant grace and strength to these families. We lift these and all of our needs up to you, Lord Christ, for it's in your name that we ask it. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing Joy to the World, hymn number 195.
Joy to the world.
seated. Our scripture this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Hope that you'll bear with me. I know some folks have been having decorations and Christmas stuff since like Halloween, and so we're like, okay, we're done, take everything down, and okay, yeah, I get it, I understand, we want to celebrate and to rejoice not only in the coming of Christ, but that He's actually here. Right? That all of the preparation of Advent is wonderful. But it's really a big deal that He's come, God Himself, Emmanuel, with us. And so this morning I have us looking at this passage from Luke chapter 2, where Simeon is there at the temple and sees Christ that God had let him know he would get to see before he died. And so let me read for us this passage from Luke 2. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are letting your bondservant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation for the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord, we do thank you and praise you. You are so incredibly kind to us as your people, that not only have you come and saved us, but that you allow us the privilege of seeing it, of hearing it, of experiencing it, and that you haven't just come and forgiven us, which if you had done just that and only that, would have been unimaginable grace. But that you didn't stop there, but you not only forgave us, but you gave us your own righteousness, and you adopted us into your family, and you gave us your own name. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We ask that you, Holy Spirit, would work in us. Enable us, because it's beyond our capacity on our own, but enable us to take in the wonder of what you have done. And that we, with Simeon, would rejoice and sing and delight in you. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. As we look at this, I want us to first ask ourselves, why is it that Simeon is rejoicing? Seek to better understand what's going on with this old man at the temple. And second, to ask ourselves, why aren't others rejoicing? Why aren't others there around Simeon rejoicing? But also, why do we so often not rejoice, and the people around us not rejoice in this wonder of what God has done? And then third, to ask ourselves, how can we share in Simeon's joy? How can his rejoicing, how can his celebrating be what we do? First, why was it that Simeon was rejoicing? It tells us in the scripture here that I just read that Simeon had been waiting for Messiah or the Christ to come. And we don't know how. We don't know the specifics of what that looked like, but some way the Holy Spirit had made him aware that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ or anointed one. We looked on Christmas Eve specifically at that term, the Christ or anointed one, and what that means. Christ being the Greek term for the Hebrew term Messiah, the anointed one, and how God had anointed people as three different office holders of prophet and priest and king. I won't go through all of that now, but this is what it is that Simeon had been waiting for. The Lord's Christ or the Lord's Messiah. And he explains that earlier in the passage as being waiting for the consolation of Israel. And so we're going to explore a little bit of what that means and why that led to Simeon's rejoicing. This passage, particularly Simeon's song proper, verses 29 to 32, is often referred to by the Latin Nunc Dimittis. Now, I'm not very good at my Latin pronunciation, so I had to consult with my local expert to make sure that I didn't botch that, and I probably botched it, but most of you also don't recognize or know the proper pronunciations of Latin. Anyway, why is it called that? Those are the first two words in the Vulgate, which is the Latin translation of the Bible. It is what is translated here, "Now, Lord, your servant may depart." Right? It is this dismissal or acceptance of what Christ had done in coming that released Simeon. Because again, Simeon had been told, you're not going to die until the Lord's Messiah comes. And so Simeon, like any believing Jew before him, was awaiting this coming of the Messiah, this arrival of the one that God had promised, who would be the promised son of David, who would come in fulfillment of God's promise to David that there would always be one of his sons on his throne, ruling over not only Israel, but over all of creation. And that this anointed one, this fulfillment of that promise to David, was Jesus, who came as this promised Christ. And Simeon knew that Israel needed this promised Messiah. He was acutely aware of the way in which Israel, even given all the promises of God, continued to sin and rebel against God. He longed for this consolation of Israel. What does that mean, consolation? Well, we tend to have that word utterly destroyed for us in the way in which it's talked about as a consolation prize. What's a consolation prize? Right? Second best. The first loser. Right? It's even worse than a participation trophy, right? Participation trophy, hey, you showed up and are breathing all the way through practice. Way to go, right? It's worse than a participation trophy because everybody who shows up gets a participation trophy, right? But the consolation prize specifically goes to this first loser, the one who didn't win and is shown to be that loser through getting this consolation prize. No, that is how we tend to think of consolation, but that's not how Simeon thought of consolation. In fact, what he's talking about is given to us in the Scripture itself. This consolation of Israel. Now, It's interesting, we talked about Nunc Dimittis as the Latin for how he says, release your servant. But the term that he uses for the consolation of Israel is the Greek phrase for that, that is used in the Septuagint. That's the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures. And the really kind of fun thing, I know, for you know, Greek geeks and folks in language and linguistics, but the really fun thing is that with the Septuagint, because it's the Greek translation of the Hebrew, we've got many of these Hebrew ideas that are already brought to the Greek, so that we then see them revealed in the New Testament also in Greek, right? So it makes that connection much easier for us to see. And so he talks about this consolation of Israel using that phrase that is one of the things that we saw in Isaiah again and again. And we've just been doing adult Sunday school in the prophets and looking particularly at Isaiah for the last several weeks. And this phrase or identity of the consolation of Israel, it's what we find in Isaiah chapter 40, where he says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." What was to console Israel, who should be grieving over their sin? The consolation, the rest, the joy and celebration is this comfort that God provides. I have not only cared for you and removed your sin from you, but I have sent the prophet to declare it to you and to speak tenderly to you, to declare to you that the warfare is ended. Now, I know this is one of those things that we sometimes lose track of, particularly in our culture and in our moment in history, right? We've been fighting wars over there for decades. I remember, gosh, it's been now 30 years ago when I had just graduated college and was staying with my parents, and they came in to let me know that the news had just broke, that the Gulf War had just erupted, right? And some of you remember that time, or you remember the horror of 9/11, and hey, the attack has come here to our own soil. But we've just kind of gotten used to there being a war over there, and not really knowing anything necessarily about it, or having it really hit home. But if you think back, and some of you remember things like when wars came to an end. Now, sometimes that's with the ignominy of Vietnam and the horror of defeat. And the, you know, the picture of the last troops being lifted out of Saigon and by helicopter and that horror. Or you have heard of the end of World War II and the rejoicing, right? The absolute celebration all throughout the world. The war is over. It's done. And as poignant as that is, it doesn't even capture but a tiny bit of this rejoicing. Because this isn't just an armed conflict between nations. Right? What we're rejoicing in, what we're celebrating, the consolation of Israel, is that the warfare between God, who had made everything, and humanity in particular, and His people specifically, was done. That God had come to do what we couldn't do. Make peace. And so he says, cry to her that her warfare is ended, her iniquity is pardoned. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This is the consolation of Israel that Simeon is talking about. This is what he's been awaiting. And sometimes when we're waiting for too long, right, we just give in to a lack of hope. Is it ever going, you know, we've seen people in this particular pandemic, right, get to that point. Right? Folks who immediately when the threat was there, you know, were all on board and trying to help, and then getting to a place of what is this thing ever going to end? Remember someone with dementia asking other folks, was there a time before everybody was locked down and wearing masks and not able to go anyplace, right? Because it just seems like it's unending. But this particular struggle wasn't just weeks or months or years. But since the fall of Adam and Eve, there has been this war between God and his rogue followers that turned against him and led in mutiny. But the focus is not on the mutinous. The focus is not on the rebellious. The focus is on Sovereign Lord, as you have promised. This is the cause of celebration. This is why Simeon is rejoicing. Because that which he could never accomplish, something that was completely beyond him, God has done. And he's done it just as he promised. I think too often we miss the enormity of what God is doing simply because we want too little. We long for too little. C.S. Lewis uses the example or the illustration of the little child playing in the mud puddle in the yard, just making little mud cakes, right? And then when someone comes and says, "Oh, you like playing in the water? How about a vacation, right? How about a time at the sea?" And the little one, you know, "I'm fine. I'm just right here playing with my little puddle." We miss the enormity of the ocean that God has for us to instead amuse ourselves with a little mud puddle. But we shouldn't miss the enormity of what God is doing here with Simeon. That he had told Simeon, "You will not die before you see the Lord's Christ." Now, we don't know why God had singled Simeon out. In fact, Hebrews tells us that there had been thousands upon thousands who had gone before Simeon who were hoping in Yahweh and yet never got to see any of these things. That they died beforehand longing for this promise. But God singles out Simeon and tells him, "Simeon, you're going to be able to see with your own eyes the consolation of Israel, the Lord's promised Christ." So Simeon is rejoicing. He's delighting in what God has done. But then we need to grapple with why others aren't rejoicing. Why aren't the other people there in the temple? I mean, they're there in the temple, and Jesus, the Christ, has arrived and he's there. And yet they go about their business, unaware, unaffected. Why? Well, part of it is because God had not revealed who Jesus was to them. He reveals it to Simeon, and Simeon rejoices. But not only was there a lack of knowledge, but there was also, even among the people who knew what was going on, a disinterest. We talked earlier about how when the wise men appear at Herod's palace and say, where is the one who's been born? We've seen his star. Where is the new king of the Jews? And they pull out the scrolls and they say, oh, well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And the wise men go, and everybody else stays right there with Herod. But there are also, besides ignorance and apathy, there are also difficulties that we face, that waiting can kill hope. There are so many horrors, so many distractions, so many things that are so difficult that even when God reveals these things, we often shrug our shoulders and just can't quite get there. Or it can be fear. Well, what if? I just can't face it. And so we don't even try. Simeon was rejoicing because of God's work in him. And Simeon chose to respond to that, to obediently go to the temple when God summoned him, to continue to foster this hope that God would provide the consolation of Israel. Now, granted, all of that is by God's grace, but Simeon was doing those things. And the text commends him for them. So the third question is, how can we share in his joy? How can we know the delight of Simeon? First, we need to, like Simeon, trust God to do everything just as he has promised he will do. Faith is simply trusting God at what he says. To believe him necessitates our then acting on that belief. Right? It's not just as if Simeon had received these things and stayed at home and said, well, God's going to do it, I believe it. But then when God moved him to go to the temple, Simeon went, demonstrating the faith that God had given to him. And so one of the questions for you is, if you say that you believe this, that Jesus is the Christ, that there's reason for rejoicing in the Messiah, then one of the first and foundational things is that you would respond as God leads you, to obey him, to go where he leads, to care for those that he brings into your life, to simply, obediently follow the Lord. Second way that we can share in Simeon's joy is in giving Christ our full loyalty. Not only through doing what he commands us to do, but in not giving anyone else the loyalty that only he deserves. The scripture talks about this kind of loyalty as refraining from idolatry, refraining from putting anything else in the place that only God deserves. Simeon is described here as a righteous and devout man. Those terms are not saying that Simeon didn't sin. Those are not ascribing to him things of his doing, but rather are the way in which Scripture constantly talks about fallen, broken, sinful people who by God's grace confess their sins and trust God, who walk in the ways of the Lord, who continue to follow him and trust him through their actions, who are giving God ultimate loyalty. This is what we talk about in terms of coming to Christ, in professing faith in Christ, in our submitting to the lordship of Christ. It demands our response. It demands our action in what we're doing, giving loyalty to God. You see, Simeon speaks directly to the Lord. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. What Simeon is doing is listening to God's directives and then following them. And he holds the things that God has given to him with open arms. He's saying here, you said I would not die before seeing the Christ. Now I'm seeing the Christ, so if you're ready to take me, I'm ready to come with you. It's living life before the face of God and loyally serving our King. And just as God had revealed to Simeon that the consolation of Israel was coming, that Jesus would be born, Jesus has told us that he's coming again, that he's gone to prepare a place for us, and that he will return to take us as his bride. So how are we now awaiting the return of the consolation of Israel? Is it something that we long for? Is it what animates us? I remember Tim Keller talking about the things that we most cherish. And there was a conversation about idolatry and how that works. He said, well, think of it this way. What do you most likely or most often daydream about? That goes a long way in revealing what the idols are that you're serving. Are you daydreaming about that trip to Florida and when all this, you know, gets released and goes back to normal, then I can get into the warm weather of Florida? Is it, well, when the grandkids come or I get to see them? When my health gets better? When my retirement savings is good enough for me to actually retire? Or any of a number of other things. What is it that you're most often longing for? And it's not just the Sunday school answer, I'm most longing for Jesus to come again. I love it. We were talking with some of some other kids and talking about Christmas a few weeks ago, and said, what are you most looking forward to with Christmas? And one of the kids said, well, presents, of course, duh. Well, yeah, it's good getting presents. But do we see Christ as the most precious, as the greatest gift? Are we longing for him? What gets us upset? What gets us angry? What gets us sad the most? What are you most likely to burst into tears about or to bang the table about? Is it the ways in which we neglect our Lord? Are you most upset about the ways in which you sin and grieve the Holy Spirit? Or does it tend to be other people doing things that cost you, that inconvenience you, that irritate or annoy you? What do you rejoice about? What's the thing that you're most likely to want to find someone to tell them, man, I can't even believe this? All of those things help us to look at, okay, how much is Christ and his consoling his people front and center? And am I confessing that? Am I being honest with God about those things? Am I turning from that and seeking to repent those habits, those idols, those ways in which that I tend to look for joy? You see, we won't share Simeon's joy over the coming of Christ without our being as excited about Christ as Simeon was. That's why Simeon is rejoicing. That's why Simeon burst into song at seeing baby Jesus there in the temple. Because it was the central thing of his life. And by God's grace, he was enabled to see it. Pastorally, let me just encourage you to think about ways in which maybe in your following Christ, in your walk with him, you can point back to times when you, I'm all excited about Jesus. I'm all excited about how I can serve him with my work. I'm all excited about how I can serve him with my family or in this way or in that way. And along the way, you've gotten beaten and had difficulty with doing that. You've had ideas of, God, you could do this and that, and wouldn't this be great? But those things haven't come to fruition. Those are not the ways in which God has worked. So maybe you've just thought, you know what? I'm not going to allow myself to get excited about anything else because that always leads to disappointment. So I'll just keep my head down and try to stay out of trouble. And what else can I do? To recognize you're not alone. In fact, as we look at the scriptures, that's more often the case with God's people. Simeon here gets to see baby Jesus. Right after him, there's a woman prophetess who comes in and gets to share in that joy as well. But that's two, along with a handful of shepherds and a couple of, a small group compared to the thousands who have gone before them, who've gone and slept with their fathers, never seeing these things. But God says he will raise them up and they will join him in the air when he comes again for the rest of his people. Are we willing to be honest with God and devote ourselves entirely to him first and foremost? In doing so, I would argue that that's where we find the joy that Simeon sang about here. Let's pray. Lord Christ, thank you for your goodness and grace to us. Lord, we confess that we struggle with these things so greatly. We pray that you would help us more and more to trust in you, to long for your return, Jesus, to weep over the ways that your world has rejected you, and to rejoice in your faithfulness in coming for us. Lord, in all these things, help us to honor you. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Let's sing in response hymn number 213, What Child Is This? Stand together as we sing. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please take a moment and be seated. May you go in peace, rejoicing as Simeon did in Christ our Lord. Amen.